Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 8, attaining the supreme text, number 17. Sahasra yuga paryantam. Ohariyad brahmano vidu. Ratrim yuga sahasrantam. Teho ratra vidojana. Sahasra. 1,000. Yuga, millenniums. Paryantam, including. Aha, day. Yat, that which. Brahmana, a Brahma. Vidu, they know. Ratrim, night. Yuga, millenniums. Sahasra Antam. Similarly, ending after 1,000. Te, they. Aha yat ratra. Day and night. Vida, who understand. Jana, people. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. Purport, the duration of the material universe is limited. It is manifested in cycles of kalpas. A kalpa is a day of Brahma. One day of Brahma consists of 1,000 cycles or four yugas or ages. Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, and Kali. The cycle of Satya is characterized by virtue, wisdom, and religion, there being practically no ignorance and vice. And the yuga lasts 1,728,000 years. In the Treta Yuga, vice is introduced, and this yuga lasts 1,296,000 years. In the Dwarpa Yuga, there is even greater decline in virtue and religion, vice increasing, and this yuga lasts 864,000 years. And finally, in Kali Yuga, the yuga we have now been experiencing over the past 5,000 years, there is an abundance of strife, ignorance, irreligion, and vice, true virtue being practically non-existent. And this yuga lasts 432,000 years. In Kali Yuga, vice increases to such a point that at the termination of the yuga, the Supreme Lord himself appears as the Kalki avatar, vanquishes the demons, saves the devotees, and commences another Satyayuga. Then the process set rolling again. These four yugas, rotating 1,000 times, comprise one day of Brahma, and the same number comprise one night. Brahma lives 100 of such years and then dies. These 100 years, by earth calculations, total to 311,040,000,000,000 years. By these calculations, the life of Brahma seems fantastic and interminable. But from the point of view of eternity, it is as brief as a lightning flash. In the causal ocean, there are innumerable Brahmas rising and disappearing like bubbles in the Atlantic. Brahma and his creation are all part of the material universe, and therefore they're in constant flux. The material universe is not even Brahma is free from the process of birth, old age, disease, and death. Brahma, however, is directly engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord, the management of this universe, and therefore he is at once attains liberation. Elevated sannyasis are promoted to Brahma's particular planet, Brahmaloka, which is the highest planet in the material universe, which survives all the heavenly planets in the upper strata of the planetary system. But in due course, Brahma and all the inhabitants of Brahmaloka are subject to death according to the laws of material nature. Sahasra yuga paryantam ahuryad brahmano vidu yatra yuga sahasrantam teho yatra vidojana. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, such also is the duration of his night. In this chapter, Krishna is trying to put everything into the perspective of reality, absolute reality. But that's something we can't really comprehend so easily because we're an illusion. Therefore, in this chapter, Krishna is, well, we'd have to start at the beginning of the chapter, he's trying to explain about what to do at the time of death. Now, of course, we think we're not going to die, so we don't worry about these things because we're going to live forever here. But just in case something unexpected happens, Krishna explains to us what we might plan for at the time of death. And basically, he's speaking, he says, Anda kale tamam eva, smaran magdva kalevram, yak priyati samadbhavam, yati nas yatra samshaya. That anyone who thinks of me at the time of death, then he obtains from me. But to think about Krishna at the time of death requires some practice. Krishna tvadiya padapankaja panjarantam. So King Kulukshetra, he prays, let the swan of my mind enter into the stem of your lotus feet right now. Because now that I'm healthy, I can think of you, but if I had to leave my body later on when my body's, all the functions are disrupted, who knows what I'm going to think about. They've done some investigation when these planes crash, and they want to find out what the pilots were thinking of, what their last words were. And they have these black boxes which record the pilots' conversations. So what they discover is at the time of death, many of the pilots, right before the plane crash, they call out, Mommy, Mommy. So they're sure to go to Mommy or become Mommy. So the point is, what are we going to think of at the time of leaving this body? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajan danda kalevram tam tam evaiti kuntiya sada tad bhava bhavita. That whatever we think of, whatever we're most absorbed in at the time of death, then we get that particular form in our next lifetime. Now, we have a choice. It doesn't happen by accident. People don't become dogs or hogs or demigods by accident. It's not that they walk down the street one day and they contact a demigod virus and they become a demigod. Or they get a dog virus and the next lifetime they become a dog. No, according to what we're thinking about. And what we're thinking about depends about what we're hearing about. And what we're hearing about depends upon our association. Don't expect to go to the neighborhood bar. They call it bar here, or pubs, or whatever they call it. What is it?
Bars.
Yeah, don't expect to go to the neighborhood bar and hear a recitation of Krishna book. You're not likely to hear very much information about the process of devotional service there. So if you go there with the idea, we're going to get a certain type of association, a certain type of conversation. And then my mind will be absorbed in that conversation. Either if the conversation is about a certain type of liquor and what the reactions and the taste and everything, then I want to try the liquor. Or if the conversation is about the amazing football star and how everyone should go and see him, then in the future I may buy the tickets and go and watch the famous football star. In any case, I'll absorb my mind in something and then I'll perform some activity, and by that activity my mind will be further engaged in a certain type of thought. Therefore, if we want to become conscious of Krishna, first we have to choose the right association. Otherwise, there's no possibility of hearing about Krishna. You can't hear about Krishna in ordinary association. You can only hear about Krishna if we get a certain type of association. And then even to get the inspiration to read Prabhupada's books or whatever also requires a certain amount of association. We may sell many books, but it's unlikely people are going to read the books. Sometimes they do due to their past activities, but it's very unlikely they'll read the book unless they get association. So they're encouraged to read the books and they're given the some insight in what the books mean and how they can practically apply to that person's life to improve it. Now, as Krishna goes on, he explains about how this material universe is temporary, something which people don't like to hear about. People don't like to hear that we're not going to stay here forever. They feel discouraged. And people don't want to be discouraged, they want to be encouraged. If we talk about death for the entire class, then people will walk out of here very morose. And if we talk about how wonderful things are and progress is going on and we're all going to be happy and glorious and they're going to come out with 5G soon, they promise, and you'll be in the world of electricity or internet. You don't even have to see your favorite movie. You don't have to go to the movies. You just touch your ear and it plays in your head. So much progress will be there. Not only will it play in your head, but through your eyes, your eyes will beam it onto the wall so everyone else can watch too. And three-dimensional. So people always want to be encouraged that this world is not as bad as some people say it is. We should have a good balance between spiritual life and material life, so our material life will be happy, and we somehow or another get credit for spiritual life too. But then here Krishna says, Sahasra Yuga Parya. First of all, he says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, that this material world is temporary, Ashasvatam. It's temporary, and it's full of misery. Ashasvatam, Dukhaliyam, Ashasvatam. It's full of misery. So this is very discouraging. And then even Brahma, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Punarvartanojana, Mamupeti Tukonteya, Punarjanma Navidyate. Even Brahma is miserable. Not quite as miserable as we are, because he's a lot more happy than we are, because he doesn't have very many problems. First of all, he has no competitor in the universe. I mean, generally he doesn't. So he's not worried about, we never heard of Brahma getting sick. Imagine if Brahma got a headache, he would have 4 headaches at once. It would be very hard to deal with. He doesn't get sick. He doesn't grow old in the same way we grow old. He may die, but he dies after 311,040,000,000,000 years. But for him, it's only 100 years because, relatively speaking, he's enjoying compared to us. And he's in Krishna consciousness for the most of the time. He doesn't lose his Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he's not influenced so much by the illusory energy like we are. He knows he's going to die. He's going to have to leave his body. And therefore, he's always preparing for it by being Krishna conscious, engaging in Krishna consciousness and devotional service to Krishna by managing the universe. But for Brahma, it's only 100 years, and it goes very quickly. In fact, right now, Brahma's 50 years old. He's middle age. And he knows he only has another 150,020,000,000,000 years left to live, so he's getting nervous. And what to speak of our poor selves, we're imagining that we have nothing to worry about. We have such a long time to live, and maybe I'll be an exception, whatever. So here it's given the information so we can take things a little bit more seriously and realize that 1 second in Brahma's life is equal to 90,000 of our years. Which means in 1 second of Brahma's life, we go through 1,000 births and deaths if we live for 90 years each time. So that should be a little impressive, that this little life that we have, this little span of life, is completely insignificant. And still, kalo doshe nide rajan yasta yeko mahagunan kirtaniya vikrishnasya mukta sangha paramaja. There's one great thing in Kali Yuga, that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, that one can become liberated and go back to the spiritual world. Just by this learning how to offensively chant Hare Krishna, we can become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. So that's a great gift. We don't have to wait another 150 trillion years before we go back to the spiritual world like Brahma. We can send Brahma, you know, a little note, wish you were here. We'll see you in another 150 trillion years, we hope. But even in the spiritual world, 150 trillion years is nothing. It's just an exhalation of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is a portion of a plenary portion of an expansion of Krishna. So his exhalation is the whole life of Brahma. So it's nothing. It's just one breath of Mahavishnu. So even by the time we got the note to Brahma, he would already been back to the spiritual world. Said, hey, what are you doing here? I sent you a note. Maybe my assistant, well, I don't know. I got lost in the fire of devastation, who knows. In any case, the idea is we should understand how precious is the time that we have and try to utilize it the best we can to absorb our mind in Krishna consciousness. Because if we want to become successful in life, eventually we have to have our mind completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So we might as well start today, because we don't have so much time left. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Comments?
You mentioned that from Brahma perspective, he lives for 100 years. I'm wondering, is there any similarity to how long human beings live?
No, we also live for 100 years.
Yeah, but what about like a fly that lives for one day? Is there also, for their perspective, 100 years or?
Yeah, 100 million, 100 miserable years.
Okay.
The more one suffers, the slower time seems to come. So the more one enjoys, the quicker time goes. So we can understand relatively how much more enjoyable is the life of Brahma than us, because he experiences his 311 trillion, 40 billion years is 100. And we experience our 1/10,000th or 100,000th of a second of Brahma's life as 100 years. Imagine how miserable we are here. But we can take consolation in the fact that a fly is 100 times more miserable than we are. But that makes you happy. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So if I understand correctly, Brahma is born when Mahavishnu exhales.
Well, it takes a little while, but anyhow, more or less. Because Mahavishnu exhales and the universe is created, and that takes some time for them to expand into the whole universe. And Garbhadakshaya Vishnu to enter into the universe, and then from his navel, Brahma is born, at least in our universe. There may be different ways Brahma comes out, but this time at least he came out from the navel. So that, I don't know how, relatively speaking, how much time it takes. I mean, for that to happen, but it's not like instantaneously.
So when Mahavishnu inhales, that's the destruction of?
Yeah, everything falls apart. But that also takes some time for the universe to get destroyed. He doesn't inhale universes, he inhales the energies, because they're already dissipated. Is that an inhale? Oh! That was a big universe. Maybe I should spit it out. No, the universes are all destroyed by that time. They're all put into their elemental forms. So he inhales the energies.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.